we're going to do things a little differently. When the bulletin was created, somehow Jen overlooked the fact that I had rearranged the order. And so, can you hold off on John 17? Can you just put a blank screen up there or sermon or something? I want us to approach the... there you go. That's good. That works. I want to approach John 17 a little differently. If you've done any Bible study in the Gospel of John, you know that John 17 is Jesus' prayer for the church and for the world. If you've ever done any study in the Gospel of John, you know that starting in chapter 13 through about chapter 18, it's an upper room sequence of teaching and thought. And it doesn't always seem to string together really well, particularly between chapter 14 and 15. It seems like at the end of 14, they're off and going, and then at 15, we're hearing about Jesus is the vine and we're the branches. In chapter 17, he's praying for these disciples. And certainly all of those chapters are one in spirit with one another. But chapter 17 is about Jesus' prayer for the church. And so this morning, I want to rearrange the order. And I want to share a word. It comes in spirit from John 17. But I want to highlight the influence of a mother like Mary. Clearly, Mary had an influence on Jesus' life. And I want us to wonder how that influence is figured in the prayer in John 17. And so, at the end of the time, I'm going to share with you a message. And then we're going to read John 17. We're just turning everything sort of around. And then I want you to see if you can hear the influence, recognize the influence, see the influence, hear the influence in Jesus' prayer. Let us pray. Lord, this morning we gather in this worship space to honor you with our lives. We seek good news. Lord, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus in this worship service. We would see Jesus in one another. We would see Jesus in the message that we hear. We would see Jesus in our lives, in the various ministries of this church and in the activities and groups that are part of the life of this church. We would see Jesus. And so bless now what we share and how we share it. We thank you for this time and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of us here have benefited from the influence of rather unique women. Now, I speak of those who have been our mothers and grandmothers, of those who are there for our children this very day, as well as those who have been mothers and grandmothers, though they are not that biologically. And you know what I'm talking about. There are people in our lives who have been mothers for us and grandmothers for us, and they were there simply by the grace of God. My gratitude and whatever insights they emanate from my own appreciation for my mother, who died in 1996, my mother-in-law, who died in 2014, 15, and my own wife, Georgia, who is here this morning. And you and I are here worshiping the God of all who sent Jesus into this world, I believe, to humanize and heal and hurry all of us into becoming the people that God wants us to be. And I hope we can pay attention this morning to Jesus' mother, Mary, and recognize her influence in the life of her son. Maybe you've never considered how Mary has had an influence. I tend to think that the Protestant church and often the Presbyterian church sort of doesn't consider seriously Mary as a historical figure. And I believe she was. I believe she figured prominently in Jesus' life. And this morning I'd like to say how. But I hope we can hear what she does with her son as he prays this prayer in John 17. And I'll be turning to you to see if you can recognize it. I think we recognize the influence of our mothers, and I believe we can recognize the influence of Jesus' mother in what he prays. Now, this may well be overstated, but I believe that the themes of Jesus' mother will come out in what he does with this prayer. But to begin, I want to speak briefly about the influence I believe mothers have for many of us here. And so I must tell you that I read one article entitled, "Relax, You're Being a Good Mom." And the author was offering some insight about the plight of motherhood these days. And to do that, she told a story. She was with a group of young mothers somewhere, and she had entered someone's home and parked the little stroller on the back wall of the house. And one of the new moms in the group stood watching her, and suddenly this new mom let out a horrified squeal. "Please tell me that's not Cheetos dust on your son's hand." And she said, "I felt a red hot flush on her face, on her own face. His little toddler paws were covered in the telltale bright orange powder. There was no denying what he'd been eating." And she explained, "I quickly fumbled for a wipe to clear away the mess, not to mention my maternal shame." And she slinked quietly into the group, hoping that I wouldn't be cast out as the failed mother who allowed her child to eat junk food. Well, the author admitted that often criticism causes serious self-doubt about parenting skills. And if you've been a parent any time at all, you know that that's certainly true. And so this morning, my comments are not aimed at criticizing anyone. My effort here is to praise God for the many different ways that people who are mothers and grandmothers influence our world. I'm convinced that being a mother is hard and challenging no matter what other kind of work we do. Someone I remember as an interesting commentator on American life, who's no longer with us, was Irma Bombeck. She wrote books and had an advice column for her own unique life, view of life in America. And she once said, "Someday when my children are old enough to understand the logic that motivates a mother, I'll tell them, I loved you enough to bug you about where you were going, with whom and what time you would get home. I loved you enough to be silent and let you discover your friend was a creep. I loved you enough to make you return a Milky Way bar with a bite out of it to a drugstore and confess, I stole this. But most of all, I loved you enough to say no when you hated me for it. And that was the hardest part of all." Irma Bombeck was also the person who said, "One thing they never tell you about child raising is that for the rest of your life, at the drop of a hat, you're expected to know your child's name and how old she or he is." They never tell you that. Motherhood is a challenge and a reward. And from my view, from the outside, there are at least three things I appreciate about mothers in general. First of all, they care about being with their children. Secondly, they care about their children's self-esteem. And third, they care about their children's joy and happiness as much as possible. And I believe you and I may well hear these concerns reflected in John 17. But I'm getting ahead of myself, and I want to touch on these briefly. So first of all, as a way of thanking God for special people, I believe mothers care about being with their children. Someone has said that "with" is the most important word in the New Testament. During the month of December and in the season of Advent, we remember that Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Clearly, Jesus calls some to be his disciples for them to be with him. And there are certain people in your life and in my life that we like to be with. And it would occur to me that one of the blessings of mothers, the mothers that have affected me, is that they care about being with their children. Being with those we love is an important value in our time when parents work and travel and family time is limited. In our household, hanging out together as a family, whether it was on vacation or on a weekend together, is still very important. And we get to be who we are, and we get to think about who we're becoming, especially when we're together. I believe mealtimes are good, and doing things together as families is a wonderful thing. But I value those times when we're together and there is no agenda. And certainly that this has something to do with how I'm wired and how I've been created. And I've always appreciated the times we've shared with our children. And Georgia has led the way in making this a possibility. She's even doing it today. Our daughter Caroline is here, and it's special. She was just married in March, and we're proud of that. Will could not be with her, but we're hanging out today. Mary had Jesus at home until he was 30 or so, and it's held that Jesus began his ministry at this age, and he was home in Galilee working in the carpenter shop. And of course, there were times that Mary and Jesus were together during his ministry years, but perhaps the strangest and most impossible moment of Jesus and Mary being together is at the very end of his life. He is at Golgotha. He's on a cross. And Jesus, according to John, is very aware of the fact that his mother is there with John the disciple. And he even pays special attention because he's concerned about his mother. And he wants to give his mother to John and to give John to his mother. Tradition holds that for the rest of her days, John cared for Mary and took care of her as long as she lived. And yet in that moment, Jesus and Mary as mother and son were together, even though this was a painful experience for Mary. But let me be clear. Mothers I have known and loved have always valued being with their children, no matter what was happening in their lives. Secondly, not only do mothers care about being with their children, they care about who they are and who they think themselves to be. And Luke's gospel gives us some amazing moments when shepherds come and report to Jesus' parents what they heard out in the fields. And you and I know well, every December 24th, we sit and read that story from Luke 2, that Jesus, that Mary treasured these stories and pondered them in her heart. Luke also recalls that Jesus, an occasion when he, a number of years later, was staying behind in Jerusalem when his parents were joining the caravan that took them back to Nazareth in Galilee. And after 3 days, Mary and Joseph discovered, good grief, our son is not with us in the caravan. Where is he? So they stop, they leave the group, they go all the way back to Jerusalem, and they find Jesus asking questions with the elders in the temple. And the mother, Mary, says to her son, child, kind of fascinating here, Mary talk to Jesus like this. Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety. And Jesus replies by saying, did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? John also recalls the fun moment at the wedding in Galilee when Mary says to Jesus, it's a singular moment, and they've run out of wine, and Mary says to Jesus, they have no wine. And it's like she knows he's Superman. He can do incredible things. And he turns and resists her and says, why are you asking me that question? My time has not yet come. He wasn't ready to begin his earthly ministry in some way. It's sort of fascinating, the little repartee you can imagine between Jesus and Mary in John, I believe, chapter 2. Not only have I heard my mother say this, but also I've heard my wife say this to our children as they go out the door. Remember who you are. When you leave this place, remember who you are. It is a call to values, a call to self-esteem, a call to personal integrity in the face of a world that does not seem to care about any of those. Mothers' hours invested in being mothers, I believe, create the psychological capital to say to those they love, remember who you are. Remember what I've taught you. Remember what you've learned in church. Remember what is important. Remember you're a child of God. All of these things matter. And mothers often show up at the right moment to say what we children need to hear, even though we think we do not need to hear it precisely. And mothers I have known and loved have valued helping their children remember their self-esteem and their integrity and to learn who they are. And obviously that was a big deal for young Jesus. It's also a big deal for you and me. Finally, while mothers care about being with us, while they care also about personal integrity, they especially care about fun and laughter and joy. And too often, I believe, Jesus is portrayed in art with a rather stern or serious expression. Clearly, he was a person who knew the benefit of laughter and joy and lightheartedness. No one who attracts children and is good with children can do that very long without a sense of humor. In order for children to be drawn, you have to have somehow a lighthearted countenance. You look at some of these Byzantine icons of Jesus and you think he's going to stare a hole through you. But Jesus knows what it is to laugh and experience abiding joy. And I believe he got that from his mother and perhaps his father too. But life is not always easy and uncomplicated. And any woman who rides on a donkey for 3 days to be with her husband, who watches her son begin a ministry and then hear how people turn against him, anyone who watches her son's life come to a close and who remains with followers all the way to Pentecost knows the joy and power of laughter and humor in life. I believe Mary did too. Georgia and I have lived long enough to endure some challenging family times that have been sad and difficult, but we still appreciate a good movie, and we still appreciate good friends with whom we laugh. However, there is nothing like those rare occasions when we laugh so hard that we cannot catch our breath. Laughter is good for the soul, and mothers I have known and loved have valued helping their children's enjoyment of life to the fullest. Now clearly there are 10,000 reasons or more different reasons that you and I love and appreciate our mothers and our grandmothers. And sometimes we can name here some of those and some we cannot. But because I am who I am, I have loved my mother and wife with their desire to be with their family, for helping their children hold on to a real sense of self and self-esteem, and for their experience of real joy in the Lord and a sense of humor. And may God deliver us from those who take themselves and their importance and life so seriously that they cannot laugh. So at this point, let us turn to the Gospel of John and listen for God's Word and see if you and I can hear some of Mary's values in the prayer that Jesus prays for his followers. And for us, this is the Word of God. John 17. There it is. We begin reading at verse 6. Jesus is in a posture of prayer, and his disciples. It's fascinating that we turn to this chapter, and it's like we're listening in on Jesus' prayer with his followers. But if you study this enough, you'll begin to realize Jesus prays for you and me as well. I've made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I'm no longer in the world, but they're in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you've given me. I guarded them. And not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And as you've sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. Now this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.